sidewalks, off the shrubs and grass stalks, the rock salt washes down the drain fine. Rich soil, fresh streams and lakes, where the salt dissolves from me, birds and the fish and the water, fully brine. Can you feel the...
Welcome back to the Public Lands Podcast. This week we're at Browns Creek Park near Stillwater, Minnesota, where we're conducting a musical exchange, the Browns Creek Watershed District. For those of you who are new to the podcast, for these exchanges, we sit down with leaders, staff, and members of a guest stewardship group and hear what they have been doing in their adopted park or public land. We play some live music to prompt discussion, either with a guest group or, as in this case, with our house band, the Hypoxic Punks. For example, during these past few months, the Public Lands Podcast has included live exchanges with several events, friends of organizations, including Friends of Saltwater State Park, Friends of Lime Kiln State Park, Society, or Folks, as they are known, and the Friends of Moran State Park, all in Washington State. And now it's great to be back in our home state of Minnesota, where we had our first exchange with the group Blue Thumb at the State Fair. Now, let's bring Karen to the stage. And so welcome, Karen, to the Public Lands Podcast, and thanks for sharing your time and ideas with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and maybe you can tell us your full name and your role in the Browns Creek Watershed District.
Absolutely. I'm Karen Kill. I'm the administrator with Browns Creek Watershed District. And we're here today to let people know about what a healthy watershed is and what they can do to be a part of that and help improve it.
Excellent. Thanks. Well, tell us, the audience, a little bit about what the Browns Creek Watershed District does. What are some of the projects you have going?
Sure. Browns Creek Watershed District is a special unit of government that we have in Minnesota in the 7-county metropolitan area. All lands are actually required to be a part of a watershed district or watershed management organization. Browns Creek Watershed District is about 30 square miles. We've existed since about 1997. We make up portions of communities in Stillwater, Stillwater Township, Oak Park Heights, Grant, Hugo, May Township, Lake Elmo. We follow hydrologic boundaries, so wherever that water droplet comes down and follows that flow of where it's ultimately leaving our watershed. Our watershed, as I said, is about 30 square miles, and our namesake, Browns Creek, is actually sort of that collection point of most of our water here in Browns Creek Watershed District, and ultimately flows into the St. Croix River. So that a portion of the St. Croix River is also in our watershed and a focus certainly of what we send on to the St. Croix and down to the Mississippi and as your namesake, the Hypoxic Punks, doing what we can do to all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico.
That's great. And part of St. Croix, you know, the St. Croix River is a National Scenic Riverway, and so it's a special thing to have and to steward. Do you have any sort of special projects? This is your annual celebration. Do you have any special projects that you're doing right now at Browns Creek Watershed District?
In the Watershed District, we're focused on working with landowners to make improvements to both water quality, so looking at things like the amount of sediment and nutrients. We're also really focused on projects that reduce the temperature of the water as it comes to our trout stream, which needs cold water for those trout to naturally reproduce in our trout streams, and also for our lakes to reduce the amount of phosphorus that's coming into our lakes as well. So we're working on various projects. The other thing is water quantity is another issue. And even in our stream systems, by paving over our streets and making these conveyances to easily get that water and very quickly off the landscape, it's getting into our streams at a much different rate and volume than it has in the past. So that can actually cause problems with actually having the stream sides become very unstable and actually more sediment just from the stream trying to find a new balance with that new amount of water that's coming through that. So we're also working on projects, and some of the really exciting ones that we're doing are in some collaborations that are coming up with some other government entities and some private folks. We're looking at some various opportunities for reusing that stormwater. So typically we've thought about our stormwater as sort of a waste product, right? Get it off that landscape as fast as possible. Try not to actually degradate, you know, the water that it's heading to, but, you know, clean it up and then just get it off of there. So the idea with reuse projects is actually figuring out, where are we already wanting to irrigate? Where are we wanting to use that water? Where can we use that water safely and reduce the amount of water we're using from irrigation, as well as giving a good purpose for those nutrients and that extra water that we're generating and giving that might be of a benefit. So some of the natural partnerships that are sort of coming about are with some of the golf courses actually in the area. We have five different golf courses in Browns Creek Watershed District in our 30 square miles. And we've already started partnerships with Stillwater Country Club, Oakland Golf Course. They've done projects with us, both of those in the past, and are looking at potential reuse projects with us in the next, 2 to 5 years. And also a new one that we're potentially going to be working with Washington County and the Minnesota Department of the Department of Transportation, is with Applewood Golf Course along the 1536 interchange, as that's going to be changed here in about 2021. So those reuse projects really look like they might have a lot of multiple benefits for us in the future.
Oh, that's exciting. This is very, sort of dynamic work then, as you're saying, water trying to find its new level in different places and technical work. Was it the cooling project that you have over there at your table, was that a rock crib? What was the name of that?
Yes, so actually right here in this park, in Browns Creek Park, we've worked on a project with the City of Stillwater and the Department of Natural Resources. The trail that we're on here today is actually the Browns Creek State Trail. It's one of the reasons why we picked this park for this event, is because there's a lot of activity that happens here along the state trail that connects from downtown Stillwater to the Gateway Trail. It's a wonderful recreational resource that we have. And we have a city park here, Stillwater City Park. And there was going to be a new parking lot that was going to be put into this park because of being a sort of a trailhead for the state trail. And we looked at that as an opportunity. There was already going to be some changes being made. It was a gravel parking lot previously with some sediment potential sources. But all these surfaces are also heating up. So that very first rain event in the summer, that first inch of water that's coming off of our blacktop surfaces, gravel surfaces, it's hot. It's definitely warm. And in a natural system, that first inch or so would pretty much be contained on site. So now it has a way to get to the creek. So we looked at, are there some ways to cool that water off before it gets there? Well, we'd look at things like infiltration. That means soaking that water into the ground. But this site doesn't have soils that really allow for that. This park has some pretty clayey soils. It's not great. So that really wasn't a good option here. So instead, what we did was look at some opportunities. There's a couple of things that are underground in this park. One is taking that water first, and it takes off the floatables, like things like oils and things that might be kind of coming in from the roadway, dripping off of cars, that sort of thing. And that collects that. The next chamber actually collects that sediment and things that might be coming in from things like salts, sands and things from, winter use and just kind of being carried around. That cleaned up water then goes under through this. I kind of think of it as a giant rock burrito. It's just a lot of rock, three, 4 inch rock with spaces in between, and it's kept underground. So the idea of, like, if you go in a cave, it's always 55 degrees, right? So that it's down deep enough that rock is maintained at that cool temperature. So that first flow of water, that first inch or so of hot August rain, now can flow through this giant rock burrito, exchange its heat energy. So that water then cools because it's flowing through these cool rocks, exchanges that heat energy, and then cooler water then is able to carry on to Browns Creek. So it's it's sort of like a temperature filter for the water. And then obviously those rocks were heated up during that exchange, and that ambient temperature of the ground kind of recools the rocks, and the next rain event, now we have an opportunity. Now, after about that first inch or so, the pavement and things starts to cool as well. And we have sort of a bypass at that system. Then we'll just bring that water just through the sediment chambers and things, and then it will just make its way to Browns Creek. So that cooler water will still just make its way straight there. But kind of a fun project that was put in just a couple of years ago. And the City of Stillwater is going to be reconstructing Neal Avenue, where this park is located, the road that this park is located on, and we'll actually be tying in more of the roadway system into that project that we've already built. And that project, I should mention, is a project that we were able to fund. 75% of that funding came from the residents of Minnesota voted several years back to add a 3/8% sales tax. And so this was one of the clean water projects that we actually received funding. So we were able to leverage about 25% of local funding and leverage that with 75% of that from statewide sales tax amendment money.
Well, that's great. That's fascinating. I think that's a brilliant illustration of all the things that go on that people cannot see in terms of the stewardship, in this case going on underground. Now, one last question that I always like to ask. I always like to ask each steward what brought them to this work. One of the main audiences for this podcast are students who are thinking to themselves, what kind of work do I want to do? How do I get into that? How did you personally come to this work in general, but also to Browns Creek Watershed District?
To this work in general, I had no idea that this job ever existed as a student. I had no idea that this was like a thing you could do. In fact, looking back sort of in hindsight, finding those things you just find fun, there is probably a job to do that somewhere. And I grew up in Door County, Wisconsin, so I grew up on the water, both the Bay of Sturgeon Bay and on Lake Michigan. I went to the University of Minnesota Duluth, and if I'm really honest with myself, I picked it because of Lake Superior. And I had as one of my classes, as I started to kind of move through, I found like, wow, you can spend a lot of time outside and get paid for it, and got a summer intern job down in Carver County doing lake monitoring and some stream monitoring. And although not the greatest of water quality in our state as an example, still got to just be outside and play in the water all day and thought, this is awesome. Like, I never knew you could even do that as a job. And of course, as time goes by and all responsibilities sort of change a little bit, I have to be honest, I don't get to get outside as often as I might like. You know, all of those projects I'm talking about take a lot of collaboration, a lot of planning, but it's so satisfying to get to see something real happen on the ground and work with folks. And I love, you know, the days that I get to do things like this, where I get to interact with people who live in the watershed and who get to get out and see these different components of our watershed and what makes it a unique place, because this really is a special place. The whole ecosystem, we call this a trout stream. And, you know, to some, they just hear trout in that word. But to me, and what I hope we teach people here today, is that there's a lot more to it. That's the canary in the coal mine. It has to be this special environment in order for that to actually be something, and to be something that's still this clean and this healthy here in the metropolitan area with as much development as it happened is really pretty unique. But it's just a lot of fun. I was a little bit of a jack of all trades in my major. It was an environmental studies major, and I did some extra emphasis in water resources because I liked them. And it turns out a bit petrifying to leave your college with a jack of all trades kind of degree, but it turns out it was actually a very good planning on the folks who created the major, because I use my political science, I use my philosophy, I use, you know, those English skills. I write reports constantly, you know, and have to articulate. I use those communication classes. You have to be able to tell your story. You know, you have to be able to let people know what's going on. So, as well as those hard sciences of being able to understand, you know, the biology and ecology that we have going on here. I am only an armchair engineer, but you have to be able to understand, you know, when the engineers are talking as well, and be able to be that go-between of being able to talk to your average resident and an engineer as well. So that jack of all trades suits a watershed district administrator very, very well. So,
and thank you. You know, as you've been able to tell your story extremely well, as you do, and it's such an important part of that. And we really appreciate you sharing the story with us, and for this wonderful event today on such a gorgeous day, as opposed to a couple years ago, last year when it was
35. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get when you come outside.
We had a fire and s'mores.
Oh, so it was wonderful. I really appreciate your group being here today as well. It really adds a wonderful ambiance and a discussion starter, and just really adds a festive flair to the whole thing to draw people in as well. So I really appreciate
it. And so thanks so much, Karen. That's Karen Kill with Browns Creek Watershed District. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now let's bring Cameron Blake to the stage. Cameron, welcome to the Public Lands Podcast, and thanks for sharing your time and ideas with us today.
Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, tell the audience what it is that you do at the Browns Creek Watershed District.
I assist our administrator in a variety of our projects that we do. I get to be a little bit more of the out-in-the-field person, so I get to go out and do our lake surveys. I help with maintaining some of our projects and yeah, that kind of really fun stuff for me.
Great.
Groundwater measurements, things like that.
And you set up this wonderful event every year, the celebration of the Browns Creek Watershed
yep,
District.
Yep, we do. Yeah. Yep.
So I'm guessing this is not what your work is like every day.
No, this is the one and only large event of this. We do some summer events throughout the year, though, smaller scale with our Citizens Advisory Committee, which is just a great group of people. They're very motivated, so all of these ideas are very driven by them and what they would like to share with the public. Really, they come from a wide background of different industries and things, but everyone is very passionate about water resources, so that brings them out to these sorts of things on the Saturday morning.
Oh, that's great. And so yeah. We were talking with Karen earlier about so many of the things that people don't see, like right under our feet right now, the rock creek beds, etc., that are set up to sort of clean out the water. And so the other thing I think people don't see are all the networks of people that make something like this work. So mm-hmm. not just the immediate staff of the organization and volunteers, but also a board.
Yep, we have our board that helps decide our financial budget decisions since mm-hmm. we're a public entity. So we've got a board, we've got our Citizens Advisory Committee that kind of looks over the board and the watershed district's activities. So we've got a lot of people that have a lot of say in what we do. So we try to be very responsive to what the public would like to be doing and what information we get from other people as well.
Great, excellent. Yeah. So give people a little sense as a steward that's so active in the Browns Creek Watershed District that's going out in the field, if you could just give an anecdote or story of one experience you've had perhaps recently or with a community group that really sort of maybe illustrates the kind of work you do and what Browns Creek Watershed District means to the area.
Sure. Well, I've got my solo vegetation surveys in a canoe are always fun.
Oh.
We work with people that let us, so Browns Creek lakes don't have any public access, but we still monitor them for water quality and biological surveying and things like that. So we have to request permission to access through landowners. And they're all people that live on lakes are always very passionate about how their lake is doing. So they're always very eager to help us, access it and so that we can give them the information. So did a few vegetation surveys this year. So went out with our engineering firm and we just did some vegetation surveys. So we looked at South School section where we've been addressing a curly leaf pondweed, which is an invasive, but we did an herbicide treatment back in with the DNR back in, I think, 2017. And then we've done two follow-up surveys since there, and it seems to have worked pretty well, which I think is great news for the people that live around that lake. And then we did a couple other surveys. I think we did Bass Lake this year and Lynch Lake, so some of the lakes up in our northern part of our basin. Did some surveys up there as well, and folks are always really interested as we're out there. We hear calls like, all right, what are you seeing out there? We're like, well, we're seeing a lot
anything?
Of this, right? Yeah, as we're throwing our, so the veg surveys, we throw a rake out and we pull it up and we see uh-huh. what we pull up. And yeah, so people call out from the shoreline, like, what are you seeing? Like, well, nothing bad yet. And then some of the basins are surprisingly high water quality. Lynch Lake specifically, the northern basin, there were some great vegetation out there, so that was really exciting to see because that tells us how well the lakes are doing. And the Bass Lake survey we did was to help us create. Bass Lake doesn't have a management plan yet, so that's something that's in our watershed plan to create a management plan for that as well. So lots of different lots of different pieces that we touch out on the watershed district.
That's great. I was just talking to the DNR folks earlier, and we were talking about how people sometimes, when you do work on a eutrophic lake, which, mm-hmm. for the audience, it means that it's extremely sort of clouded up and mm-hmm. over algae-ridden, et cetera, that sometimes they expect those changes to just take place overnight, and they really don't.
Right.
And it might even take generations in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
But with the curly leaf or something, it must be incredibly gratifying to sort of engage in that and then to be able to show objectively demonstrate that, in fact, it had made a difference.
Right, because that isn't always the norm. It does mm-hmm. often take many, because it took many years for the conditions to happen, so it can take a while to fix it. So, but it is, it is sometimes hard to let people know of what we're doing so they can, because they don't always see the immediate impact, but it's wonderful when we can. The other project that they completed was at the Oakland Golf Course, which they have been super willing to work with us, and we actually were able to do a restoration project because the Browns Creek flows right through their course. So they allowed us to create this native buffer and vegetation, and the last time they did a fish survey out there, we have a picture of our administrator, Karen, she pulled up this giant trout, the brown trout, that actually was right off of the golf course, which was just, it's just amazing. If you give them just a little bit of habitat, what'll show up there. So that was a really exciting one. If you could get a picture of, look, this project is working, Karen pulling up this giant brown trout. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. If you have that, we'd love it if you share it with us. We'll put it as the illustration for this podcast.
Absolutely. We can do that.
And thank you for everything you do for the Watershed District and for all of us, Cameron.
Yeah,
it's Cameron
sure.
Blake of the Browns Creek Watershed District.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's podcast from Browns Creek Watershed District, and more specifically, Browns Creek Park near Stillwater. I want to thank our guests today, Cameron Blake and Karen Kill of the Browns Creek Watershed District. Next week, we'll be bringing you a National Park Service Ranger. Paula Swingley is planning to come into Rarick Studio B, where we'll talk to her about the Mississippi River Gorge. So until then, enjoy a park, a waterway, a lake, or beach near you.
We're all living in a watershed, all sharing the same roadbed, and we're all drinking from the same fountain of light. Try not to slip and slide, we sow seeds of sodium chloride, and the shovel leans against the wall inside. Stalks, the rock salt washes down the drain and finds rich soil, fresh streams and lakes, where the salt dissolves and makes the birds and the fish and the water bully brine. All sharing the same roadbed, and we're all drinking from the same fountain of life.